Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network.
You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive. My name is Daniel Lim, and I'm here with Todd Atkins.
What?
All right. Well, my voice is such because I lost my voice this last week. I was speaking down at Exponential, both the Bay Area and Houston. And I obviously, Todd, you know, now back being back in Canada, I wanted to go for barbecue. So went to barbecue. I was sitting down for about an hour with an incredible church, Community Bible Church in San Antonio. And after an hour speaking to 10 people, we were together for like two and a half hours. But for me, probably a total of an hour plus speaking to 10 people in a loud barbecue restaurant, I got out and I was like, oh my goodness, I think I've strained my voice to the point where I can't talk.
That's brutal.
So this is good. And I preached three times this weekend at our church, so this is actually pretty good to be able to talk like this. So I'll kind of have a different...
Can you say...
It'll be a different Daniel.
Show you right.
Show you right.
All right. Hey, okay, so today we have a great question. This is a question that came in from one of our Plus members, and we've obviously already answered this because we guarantee answers right away, but it's one of those questions where it's like, man, we just got to bring this and put this on the podcast. So I will read it out for us, and here it is. We're in the middle of a vision to plant 10 campuses in 10 years in Northeast Ohio, the greater Akron area. Is it Akron or Akron?
Akron.
Oh, Akron. Yes, that's right. These campuses need a campus pastor that teaches each week. Our leadership pipeline is getting dry and we're looking to hire outside, but we are finding it difficult to find men from seminaries and search organizations. What suggestions do you have for finding campus pastors that are outside your own leadership pipeline? Thanks so much for all you do.
Don't do it. It's a trap.
Yeah, I know. That's exactly what I was thinking too. Okay, why is that, Todd?
Okay, so it's really interesting. This is, did you have the name with this one?
Did I have the name of this one? No, I don't, unfortunately.
Okay. All right, so the reason why I say it's a trap is because almost anybody can match your vision and values and culture in a conversation, especially people that interview well. If they've done any homework whatsoever, they're going to be able to talk the talk really quickly. But you don't know if they're going to fit for months, and you're going to have to live with that. Selection is incredibly important because we all know 2 or 3 years after that campus goes, it's going to look more like it's going to take on the personality of the campus pastor. So if the campus pastor is passionate about marriage, guess what? Your congregation is going to be very passionate about marriage. If it's missions, it's missions. If it's local outreach. I mean, you know, you get the idea because that's going to be the things that he is naturally passionate about, has more personal stories about. We all know the power of the personal story in the pulpit.
You're completely right. So even when it comes to selection, just a quick question on that. Obviously, not everyone is as good of an interviewer as we would hope to, because, I mean, I've definitely been in interviews where I'm like, do you even know which church you're applying to? So that usually doesn't go past a Skype or a phone call these days. But what would you say, Todd, are ways, at least in the interview phase, to try to discern the fit, to try to discern if they line up with their values at all? Now, obviously, you're not going to know for years, right? Like you said, but are there ways initially during the selection process that you can glean that?
First thing I would say is don't ask questions in the form of a statement. So we have a tendency to... basically, In the form of a question, we reveal what we expect the answer to be. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So you've already given them the hint and they know what the Sunday school answer is going to be. So that's one thing. So you're trying to come back and make sure that you're getting the top questions. I think should be all about that vision fit. So, you know, what do you know about our organization? You know, how did you find out about the position? Why are you interested in our church? Why are you interested in this particular role? I think, you know, you're also going to ask the strength and weakness questions, and, you know, the more telling thing will also be what questions they have for you. You can also say, hey, what other churches or organizations are you interviewing with? And if they're interviewing with people that aren't in your swim lane or not even close to your swim lane.
Okay, that's a good question.
You're going to know. So, yeah, I mean, also why they're leaving their current church is a good thing to know. But most of these questions, like, okay, so why are you leaving your current role is not a as good of a question to ask as what other churches are you interviewing with?
Yeah.
Or what other churches do you look up to? I mean, you know, there's some of those things that I think could be really helpful. But why are you particularly interested in our church? Why are you particularly interested in this role? Those are going to help you as well.
Yeah, that's huge. That's huge. I mean, right now at my church, Beulah Alliance Church, we're, I just led our leadership team through an exercise on values. So to clarify what our values are, what our core values are. And my hope with that, because we're revisiting, we did that last month and we're going to be doing some more work on that this month, is that from that, we then actually integrate it into the systems of our entire church. So we're doing this several times. January, we have a couple day staff retreat where we're actually going to be bringing this in, and I'm going to be creating case studies so that this really does become a decision-making framework for ministry and also subsequently for hiring. So let's say one of our values is something about generosity. What I would instead of, so going along with what Todd was saying, I wouldn't ask, hey, are you generous? Right? How is your ministry generous? Because that would obviously feed them the answer. But I would talk about it more from the question of observing behavior and looking at it from the past to say, okay, when in the past were you, you know, you'd kind of, I don't know, I'm trying to think of a question right now about generosity, but maybe I would ask, hey, how often do you give? Or do you give further than the church? Or are there any long-term missionaries that you support? Or are there, you know, you just kind of get to the behavior and even ask a question like, hey, if we are going to be, if let's say you were managing a team and you had 20 hours that you could allocate to an additional team member and you needed it, but you were, let's say, in the youth department, but you saw how much the children's ministry needed it more, would you actually offer it to them? Right? Or maybe there'd be a better way to answer that question or ask that question. But the whole idea is you're trying to get to that behavior without feeding them the answer.
Yeah, I would say people know that I harp on this one quite a bit, but I would ask them to tell me a story about that value. Yeah. Because you could say generosity and that could mean a lot to a lot of different people, but you understand if it matches up by the way they tell the story. So I was reading Matthew 13 this morning in quiet time, and man, it toward the end of that, cause you've got several parables in a row there. Right. And, here's Matthew 13, 34. Jesus told the crowds all these things in parables, and he did not tell them anything without a parable, so that what was spoken through the prophet might be fulfilled. I open my mouth in parables. I'll keep things secret from the foundation of the world. So it goes on to talk about him interpreting the parables. And so he explains, you know, the parable, the weeds in the field. And so what I'm saying there is the power of story is amazing. And asking people to say, you know, well, what does this look like? It's like when Jesus says, who is my neighbor? I mean, so love your neighbor as yourself. Yes. And I can repeat that and I could say that to you, but then saying, well, what does this actually mean? Like, mm-hmm. and who is my neighbor in this scenario? Yeah, I think it's really, really powerful to get under the hood there and not just ask the typical questions. Probably one of the most looked at blogs I ever had was the top 10 ministry questions and how to answer them, which I felt dirty at telling people how to answer them. But there's 25, there's a total of 25 that are connected to that article. And then once you get down past 10, that's where it's saying like, hey, what is your philosophy of ministry? Well, if I ask you that straight out of the gate, you don't have anything to hide by. You just have to be able to tell me what your philosophy of ministry is. Does it match with mine? I can judge that. That's better than, hey, are you weak or strong? I mean, that's one that they're expecting. How have you developed your team and volunteers? What does a typical week look like? And exactly what Daniel said, and how are you spending your time? And how is your organization spending its time and resources, staff, and so on?
Yeah, no, that's good. Okay, so this is the selection side. Let's just hear a quick word from our sponsor, and then we'll come back and talk about the whole idea of developing internal talent for future campuses. So let's just listen to this quick ad, and we'll be right back.
Considering the seismic cultural shifts all around us, we must ask what lies ahead for Christians around the world. No one has done more to startle the church from its slumber than Len Sweet, and no one has equipped the church as effectively. Rings of Fire is a benchmark book from a seminal leader of the modern evangelical movement. In this book, Len outlines over 25 rings of fire facing the church and how we can walk in faith through this volcanic future. You can get your copy of Rings of Fire at navpress.com. Now back to the podcast.
All right. So Todd, obviously the question is the idea of planting 10 campuses in 10 years. And we failed to say, we obviously said this when we answered him in the plus member question, but we failed to say how incredible of a vision this is, right? 10 campuses in 10 years. And you're looking for a campus pastor that teaches live every single week. So obviously the question was this whole idea of their leadership pipeline getting dry. What do you think, Todd, is the best way? Let's say they were saying, okay, we're going to start this vision in 3 years. What can we do in the next 3 years so that we would begin to have campus pastors for our future campuses? What advice would you give him in that context?
Well, I mean, it sounds like that they have been, I mean, people are going to think I'm a broken record, and we do two podcasts, so I know sometimes I talk about one on one thing and one on the other, but it's shifting from intuitive to intentional. It's shifting from leadership placement to leadership development as far as your strategy is concerned. If you had a true leadership pipeline, then you would have democratized development all the way down the chain. And so the fruit of a leader is another leader. The fruit of a volunteer is another volunteer. And the fruit of me is hopefully another me. And that has to cascade down into the organization, because if you have, you know, the people at a higher level of leadership and leadership competency, if they're the ones that are recruiting and developing leaders at all the different levels, of course you're going to have areas that dry up. And unless you strategically focus on it and you resource it accordingly, you're not going to have that. I mean, you know, we did, we had that vision of 10 campuses in 10 years in 2004. And by 2006, between 2006 and 2012, there were 9 campuses. And so it went fast and furious. And that's where most of the pipeline stuff comes from. And I can tell you, we could not have done that if we hadn't went back and looked at those S's: story, strategy, structure, systems, style, skills that we were training on, and really even selection, and said, okay, how do we gain clarity? How do we declutter what has become complex in each one of these areas? If we continuously come back to those different elements and just get ruthless about clarity, ruthless about simplicity, we're gonna do that. The other thing was creating things like a future leaders program at our church to say, hey, we're going to have year-long internships. And after that, if you want to be in ministry, we don't have a place to put you and we think you're awesome, we'll have a residency. But a lot of people went straight into ministry or straight back to the sector, you know, the business sector, about half and half. So
yeah, that future leaders program, was that with congregants or staff?
Oh no, that was, we went out and recruited. So
yeah, okay.
A lot came from, Liberty and Biola and, we had, Wheaton. So we had three schools that we mainly pulled from, but these were college students. Mostly I only took a couple of seminary people. It didn't work out. There's nothing against seminary person. We are both seminary people.
Yeah.
But you know, it took a few years to work seminary out of me. I don't know if it did you. And by that, I mean, you know, the foundational stuff that you get is awesome. And I worked all the way through seminary at a church, but still being detached from that kind of can create, and you're in your, you know, when you're younger, you tend to think maybe a little more highly of yourself than you ought. I know I did. And so it worked out for us better when we had people who were really considering their calling and they wanted to use this process as a way to help determine, you know, if it was their lifelong calling to be in ministry. And so it was a very effective program.
Yeah, yeah. And what I hear you saying, and you know, I'd agree that when you think about your leadership pipeline, obviously it's very, in the next 1 minute, it's hard to sum up everything that we do on Leadership Pipeline because it's a long process. But when you're thinking about developing future campus pastors, I would say have different routes. Have different routes. Don't just have one particular path. Youth pastors, using your youth ministry is a huge way, a great opportunity to develop future campus pastors. But also when you send out campuses, make sure you send them out with associates, right? Where these people have what it takes. You know, it doesn't always have to be this way, right? But because sometimes your associate campus pastors are really great for that associate role, that number two role, and not for that number one role. But you never know, right? You never know. So it's a way for you to actually put someone in that if you're not sure and say, okay, let's keep on going. Let's see how they develop. And who knows if they actually then develop into that campus pastor. But make sure you have different routes for people to develop in your organization.
And I would say this too. I would much rather spend money moving someone from one side of town to the other. So if you're in a larger geographical or regional city like a DC, you know, I might spend quite a bit of money moving you and your family from, I don't know, Falls Church to Silver Spring. Yeah. But I would much rather do that than move the guy in from, you know, Texas, who it might take a little while to understand the city and our culture. So I love what you say there about associates and, you know, recognize that you cannot commute to community. And so recognize that even having, you know, cost considered of helping someone move across town is a big deal and it's a cost to consider, but it's going to be far more, you're going to get a far better return on investment by doing that internally than going external, in my opinion.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, thanks again for listening into the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. Be sure to leave a question if you haven't yet done so, and we will catch you next time.